Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday. It's going to be the best show of the week, I promise. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, ready to go. It could be my best or worst day ever. I had an epiphany about Tua last night that I think he's going to be a bust. I don't even want to get into it for the next 10 minutes. I'll get into it in about 15 minutes. Let's just not talk about it right now. It was not good. Something came to me, and it freaked me out, and I think he's potentially going to be a big bust. All right, Joy Taylor's joining me.
The set looks great.
It does.
We usually have a whole Halloween spooktacular in here, yes. But it is COVID, so. But it looks really nice.
Now
I like you guys.
You will be wearing a costume tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna like half costume it. I don't like to overwhelm you with my insanity.
No, that's okay.
So I keep it like moderate.
All right.
But I will be Halloween-y. Halloween is my favorite holiday. So
All right.
This has me in a very festive mood.
So yes, it should. So this just came out. Tom Brady was named NFC Offensive Player of the Month. Nobody in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has ever been named Offensive Player of the Month. Folks, between New England being bad and Tom Brady now being the best player in football, this is the biggest landslide in the history of divorces. She upgraded to a superstar. He now lives with his parents. There's never been a divorce like this. Brady currently, his rankings in football compared to the New England Patriots, we'll put a graph up. Brady now in the NFL, passing yards fourth, touchdowns first, interceptions fewest, passer rating fourth. This is in October, just top of the league everything. And the New England Patriots, meanwhile, are absolute dreck. Last in passing yards, last in passing touchdowns, most interceptions, last in passer rating. Again, this is a landslide divorce. So I want to start with this. So when I suggested this offseason, this summer, it was amazing to watch the media react. I suggested Belichick is going to reboot. Now, you're not going to tank in the NFL. Nobody uses that word. But when I suggested they're going to be 5-11, 4-12, and they're going to have a top 10 pick, it was remarkable to watch the media react. And this is what I kept hearing, Joy, as my witness. Belichick is too competitive to let that happen. Oh, that's adorable. So you've never actually owned a business. Because that's what all business billionaires do. They reboot all the time. One step back, three steps forward. You really think Bill is too competitive to reboot for a year? The most competitive guy in the NBA is Steve Kerr. He once punched Michael Jordan. Steve Kerr is legendary. Ask officials, ask coaches. He punched Michael Jordan. Kevin Durant leaves, Steph gets hurt. They tank. I thought Steve Kerr's too competitive to take a step back. No, he's too smart not to. The Boston Red Sox, you don't think they care about winning? Mookie Betts, see ya. David Price, bye. They got expensive. They wanted to reboot for a year. You don't think the Red Sox are competitive? Here's what Bill Belichick is. Bill Belichick is too competitive to be bad like this for 7 years. Bill Belichick is too smart not to understand how he's going to win again. That's the only two Bill Belichick is. American companies are full of brilliant men and women, CEOs, founders, that have taken a step back for a year to rebuild the project, the mechanism, the idea. Belichick isn't too competitive to step back for a year. He's too smart not to. There's only one way out of this mess, the draft. It's not Cam Newton. Sorry, it's not. It's not Jimmy Garoppolo. First of all, why would San Francisco give up Garoppolo? Who's their quarterback in that division? You got to face Goff, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson. Let's let Jimmy Garoppolo go. What? I mean, that'd be idiotic. The idea the media couldn't get this. So go look at New England's schedule. It's working out perfectly. They're a two-win team. If you look at the rest of the way, they'll beat the Jets both times. That's four wins. Every other game is completely losable. They're not going to beat Buffalo this weekend. They're not as good as the Ravens, the Cardinals, the Chargers, the Texans, the Rams. They're not as good as the Dolphins right now or the Bills again. And they'll be 4-12, at best 5-11. Do you know what that gets you in the draft this year? Top five, top six. That gets you one of the three quarterbacks. Listen, the idea, I don't even get the media sometimes. Like, fans, by the way, here's what's interesting. When I threw my idea out there, the fans all got it. Because a lot of fans are business owners. A lot of you that follow me on Twitter, a lot of you that listen, you've been in a business. And you know how business works, write-offs. You have to step back and get rid of a good employee to take two steps forward. The audience totally got the idea that it's a reboot year. The media just doesn't get it. Of course it's a reboot year. How do you ensure you get one of the top seven quarterbacks or top three quarterbacks now in this draft? You trade Stephon Gilmore. You let guys go at the trading deadline. You don't upgrade. You keep selling parts. You let eight guys opt out. That was so un-Belichickian. Yeah, spend time with your family. Don't worry about football. Spend time with your family. Eight players opted out. It's all part of the plan, and it's coming true. It is coming true. Is if you look at the schedule, if there's how many days till the trading deadline? Like a Tuesday? If they let one more guy walk, if they trade one more guy, what are they telling you? Belichick is too smart not to reboot. He's too competitive to want to see this for the next 7 years, and there's only one way out of this dreck. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance. It's not getting Garoppolo. It's not going to happen, and it's not sticking with Cam Newton. It ain't working. All right, so this is, I will admit, I am from the coast, and I've lived a coastal life. Okay, I'm one of those coastal elites. It's nothing against the Midwest, but, you know, Midwestern people are very nice. They save their money. They pay off their house. You know, flies land on their head. They act like, you know, it didn't happen. This is sort of a Midwestern thing. Joy is from Pittsburgh, which is not Midwest, but is closer to it. She probably has this Midwest ethos. Only one vacation a year. You buy used cars. It's very Midwest. And there is nothing wrong with that, although I do acknowledge that I would tell you if a fly lands on your head, you should knock it off. The point being on this is there's nothing wrong with buying used cars. There is nothing wrong with putting away money. There is nothing wrong living below your means. Don't you want to be a player once in your life? Don't you want to take Darlene to a Ritz-Carlton once? Spend $8,000 at a roulette table? Don't you want to be a player once in your life? Do you always want to go out with the guys and...
Well, I spent $4 on a baked potato and $7 on a pork chop and $3 for...
Don't you want to pick up the check once? Be a player? Like one time? Buy Darlene flowers, even if it's not her birthday? Just because? Add some lingerie? Don't you want to be a player once? Green Bay, be a player. The Green Bay Packers have interest now in Will Fuller. I don't know if it'll work, but Green Bay has a history of living below their means and buying a used car. They get lucky at hell as quarterback with Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and they never really got those guys enough talent. Seattle's upgrading, the Niners upgrade, Baltimore upgrades, Philadelphia does, the Rams do. They roll the dice all the time. They take their wife to Ritz-Carlton. They buy new golf clubs they can't afford. They buy a new sports car occasionally. They buy flowers when it's not their wife's birthday. Green Bay, go for it. You butchered the second pick in the draft. You needed a wide receiver. Go get Will Fuller. I don't know if it'll work. But you owe it to Aaron Rodgers. He's 37 years old. He's broken his collarbone twice. And I'm watching all these other teams adding pieces and adding. Seattle adds a legitimate defensive lineman, and Baltimore's adding this, and the Niners want to add this. Don't be the guy that goes to Vegas and stays three blocks off the strip at Ellis Island. Go stay at Aria. Win. Be a player. Don't be the guy that counts your baked potato and your applesauce and then figures out exactly how much the tip is. Take the cheese head off. Just pick up the damn check. Just once in your life, buy a sports car. I'm not saying you should have six. I'm not saying you should do it when you just had your third kid and you're putting away money for college. But Green Bay can be so Midwestern, it's paralyzing. You're not going to get another Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to go from Favre to Rodgers to another legend. It's not happening. I guarantee it. You know how lucky you are to get Aaron after Favre? Do you know how lucky the Colts were to get Luck after Peyton Manning? That doesn't happen. You get John Elway, and then you're literally 25 years searching for it. You get Dan Marino, it's 25 years searching for it. New England's figured it out. Brady leaves. Let's get bad fast, reboot, and get the next guy. Go get Will Fuller. You're never going to get another Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. It's over. Nobody's that lucky. You're too good of a franchise to get a top four pick. And the sport is now so quarterback-driven. This is why New England's got to get up in the top five or six picks. With Aaron, you're never going to be that bad. You know, Jordan Love, early reports, that's not working. Okay? So all I know is this. Tampa Bay is excellent, and then they added Gronk. And now they add AB. They're still adding pieces. They'll probably add another piece. They added Leonard Fournette. They didn't have to have Leonard Fournette. They don't need AB. They didn't have to have Gronk. They already had two good tight ends. They're adding pieces. They're going for it because they know Tom Brady is 43 years old. And Seattle's adding Carlos Dunlap yesterday. Why? Because Pete Carroll's 69. How long is he going to be around? And Russell Wilson's playing the best football of his life. He can't play like this for the next 4 years. Come on, man. I know the cheeseheads are cool. I know that Packer jersey makes you feel special. Just once buy a sports car you can't afford. Just one time go to Vegas and pick up the check. Little lingerie and flowers, just because. Not because it's an anniversary, just because. Go get Will Fuller. And I don't even know if it's going to work, but you owe it to Aaron Rodgers. You owe it to yourself. You butchered the second pick in the draft. You owe it to him, and you owe it to you to go for it. And if a fly lands on your head, swat the damn thing away. It looks ridiculous.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, so I had just bad vibes on. This is going to take like 5 minutes. I'm going to take some time on this. So, you know, I'm like the rest of you. The election's next Tuesday, and I'm watching stuff. And I think what happens a lot of times, and we all do this in life, is we take the exception. And because we all have confirmation bias, we want to make it the rule. My entire life with polling for presidents, polling was pretty accurate within 3 or 4%. Polling's always been accurate. Then in 2016, it wasn't with Trump, the silent Trump voters. But now conservatives tend to think, well, Trump, polling's no longer accurate. Well, my whole life it was accurate. Why? Because of 2016, would it suddenly, you can't trust any polling. We do polling at Fox all the time. It always ends up being accurate. Companies all over the country do polling constantly. It's accurate. But because in 2016 it wasn't accurate, everybody now, conservatives, are like, well, you can't trust polling. At Fox, I use it in some of my personal businesses. I use it at Fox. I use it at Premier Reddit. Polling's always worked. We can't take an outlier and say, this is the new rule. That's the basis of where I come from. It's not a political rant. It's football. So two things have been true in my life for quarterbacks. First of all, don't listen to anybody. Size matters. Of the 30 best quarterbacks of all time, 28 are big men, over 6'2 and a half. I'm 6'2. I am taller than almost everybody I walk around at Fox. That's big. The average great quarterback is like 6'2 and a half up. Peyton, Tom, Ben, Aikman. You ever stood next to Troy Aikman? Big chest, big hands, big shoulders, big head. He's a big guy. So that's a fact. But because Russell Wilson dances around, we're like, well, look at that, it's the future. No, it's not the future. He's unbelievable. And because Kyler Murray is also unbelievable, and Fran Tarkenton was unbelievable. You don't remember him. I do, because I'm older. He played at Georgia, then the Vikings. He was the first runaround small quarterback. Three small quarterbacks, you could argue Michael Vick, not at that level, but close, have worked. And they're all runaround guys. You can't catch Kyler. You couldn't. Fran Tarkenton ran circles around people for 10 years. I watched. I was just a kid. I didn't have facial hair then. And then Russell does it, and Kyler does it, and Michael Vick did it. Tua is small and isn't really that athletic. So he has to be like 2016 polling. He has to be a historic exception. Can he be Drew Brees? Good God, that's asking a lot. Drew Brees is the outlier in the history of football. Small, doesn't have a huge arm, doesn't run around, and wins. That's the only prototype I get to use? That's it? I can't take 2016 polling and say, that is the new rule. Polling never is accurate. Of course it's accurate. Trump was a unique businessman that ran for president. He was out there, a lot of bragging, and people didn't want to admit they liked him. But I can't say that's polling. There's a lot of polling beyond political polling that's used every day by Amazon and Microsoft. They're doing polling constantly. What product will you like? What product won't you like? It's all pretty accurate. This idea that size doesn't matter is nonsense. It go look at the 40 best quarterbacks. They're almost all big. And when you do get the like 5'11 and a half guy, Fran Tarkin and Russell Wilson, yeah, you can't catch them. They're like comets. You know, nobody can catch Russell Wilson. And then Kyler Murray, you look out and you're like, oh, that's going to work in the NFL. Come on, you can't even. Kyler Murray does. He's like a marble on a wood floor. A cat couldn't catch him. Tua's got all the small, but none of the wiggle. So he's going to struggle to see over offensive lines. And unlike a Kyler Murray or a Fran Tarkin or a Russell Wilson, who move around a lot and therefore open up passing lanes they can see, Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, they throw interceptions, and we all acknowledge, analysts acknowledge, they couldn't see over the offensive linemen. So I get the small without the wiggle. Show me the success stories. One, Drew Brees. I told you, you were here. I do think his comp, leadership A+, toughness A+, smarts A+, big game productivity A+. But I had this epiphany. I'm like, what am I? I'm watching all these comments on polling, and I'm like, suddenly polling's never accurate? That's silly. That's not true. Polling's accurate all the time. 90% of the time it's accurate. And this idea that short and no wiggle is going to dominate in the NFL, I'm like, who are the two quarterbacks? Let me ask you this. So think about Burrow and Justin Herbert. They're both way better than we thought, right? Like Burrow is good, and most of you thought was good. But Burrow and Herbert's big, with a big arm. And we're all like, I can't believe he's good. We were stupid. He's a 4-point student with a rocket arm who's big and runs around. So he's got the arm to a dozen, he's got the size to a dozen, and he's got the wiggle to a dozen. That's why he's successful, because he can buy time, he runs around, he's got a huge arm, you can hit him, he's got huge size, no injury history. He's got all the things that Tua doesn't, and it's working big time in the NFL. Joe Burrow doesn't have a huge arm, but he's got all sorts of wiggle. He's got all sorts of wiggle, and he's got size. Tua doesn't have any of that. See, sometimes it would be perfect, right, if you were creating companies, if you're Jeff Bezos, if you're Mark Cuban. All these guys have had epiphanies, but they never come when you want them to. That's why you get all the information you can get before a draft. You hope you get the epiphany before the draft. But sometimes, and I've talked to Bill Polian and Hall of Fame GMs, they're like, I had an epiphany. It was in camp. I'm like, oh, of course it didn't work. Of course he doesn't work. Just like all these great business leaders. Bill Gates has had failures. Steve Jobs had failures. Jeff Bezos. Not all their businesses work, because they get the epiphany after the deadline. And the deadline's the draft in the NFL. That's the deadline, the draft. You gotta have your epiphany before the draft. And I'm driving this morning, and I'm like, wait a minute. This could be terrible. This could not work at all. This is why you have to play Tua now. You have to find out. You have to find out. Put him out there, 8 games, let's watch. And I hope I'm wrong. And maybe I am wrong. But I'm sitting there this morning thinking, Yoy, did I whiff on this? I had my epiphany. It's too late. I already bragged about him for 6 months.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Time for Greg Cosell, who changes all... By the way, he's in the film study business. So you don't think Greg Cosell changes his mind when he sees tape and goes, okay, this guy does this better than he did last year. That's the whole world we live in with tape. Players get better. Players erode. Stephon Gilmore is not as good a corner now as 2 years ago. Why? Because the film says he gets beat on the deep ball occasionally. Greg Cosell now joining us, 41 years NFL films. Speaking of change, we're getting on kind of a rant here. About you have to update and evolve and adapt in life because you get new information and you get new tape. So I am still a Lamar Jackson fan, but it does appear, you know, we got more film, we got more tape. Tennessee beats him. He's not quite as dynamic. Is it what opponents are doing? Is it what Baltimore is doing? You tell me.
I think it's both. I think what we've seen, particularly in their last two games against Cincinnati and against Philadelphia, is Cincinnati took a really defined tactic of loading the box, literally putting nine players really stacked inside. And what they're doing there is they're saying, you're not going to run the ball on us. We're daring you to throw the ball, and you're going to have to throw the ball to the perimeter, outside. The Eagles did the same kind of thing differently. But that's what teams have done the last number of weeks. And now it's up to the Ravens to say, you know what, if you're going to play that way, we will have to throw the ball to the perimeter. So now it's going to be up to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and their receivers in particular to really become a factor in a different way, because this whole offense has been built on Lamar Jackson as a runner, not as a ball distributor. The ball distribution and the passing numbers are a function of the offense built with him as a runner. So now they may have to adjust. I don't want to say change, but they may have to adjust and tweak and say, you know what, we're going to have to be a little more proactive throwing the football.
Okay, so now I have seen the, kind of the opposite with Kyler Murray. He came into the league, and now this year I'm like, oh, I see improvement. I see. Now, again, is it what the staff is doing? Is he more comfortable? Kyler today looks a little more comfortable than a year ago, and he looks better, frankly, than a year ago. Is it DeAndre Hopkins? What is it?
Well, it's an interesting point because, again, 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Football, he did not throw the ball well at all versus the Cowboys, even though they won big. This past week against Seattle, he threw the ball very well. Now, I think he's an excellent thrower, and I don't view his throwing as an issue. The main thing with him is you want to make sure that he can be as clean in the pocket as he can be. Against Seattle, he was hardly pressured because one of the issues he had as a rookie a year ago is there was too much pressure, and because he's so small, he overreacts to pressure because he's just small, and he would throw too many balls falling away with poor balance. Now, he's pretty good at that. He's probably had to learn to develop that, Colin, but he's pretty special in terms of talent. And then you add in the running element, both scrambling, second reaction, and the design runs, which cause a lot of problems for defenses. So he has a chance to be a really good player.
So I was saying there's a lot of elements to Seattle that I think are Super Bowl worthy, but their defensive line is so poor that it undermines the back end of their defense. I like Carlos Dunlap. What, in your opinion, is he a special enough player to solve their defensive issues up front?
Well, he's better than what they have. So so obviously, I guess he's not playing this week, but he'll play starting the following week. And he'll play a lot of snaps. He's always been kind of freakishly athletic.
Yeah.
He's built like a basketball player. People never viewed him as great because he didn't have 17, 18 sacks. But he can make special pass rushes. He's long. He's agile.
Yeah.
At times he's Gumby-like. He has strength. I think he's a good player, and he will clearly improve that defensive front because they put no pressure on the quarterback.
You know, I'm going to ask you about a quarterback I haven't asked a lot. This is a franchise I almost never talk about. So before the season, two people I trust were selling me hard on Detroit. On Detroit. And I'm like, I don't like the coach. I don't love the ownership. And I'm hot and cold on Stafford, who has a great arm, but I just feel like it doesn't win the game. So my friends are calling me. They're like, oh, that win against Atlanta, that Stafford – what does the tape say on Matt Stafford at this point in his career?
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Colin. Because I was home this summer, as many of us were, I did a deep dive on a lot of quarterbacks. Now, I've obviously watched Stafford his whole career, but I think I watched 350 snaps in a row in a 1 or 2 day period of Matthew Stafford. He's a pretty special player. He's been on bad teams. He's won a lot of games in his career in the fourth quarter. And a lot of people look at that and think that's the measure of a really good quarterback. He's done that a lot. He has always been a special thrower going back to his days at Georgia. And I think that he's a really good player. Now, their defense over the last number of years has been awful, and they really have not had a run game. So you're really asking Matthew Stafford to carry this team every week. And I think it's very hard for any player. I mean, if we're talking about the all-time greats, yeah, maybe there are a few of those guys, but it's very hard to ask any quarterback or have any team go into a game every week and say to your quarterback, if you don't play great, great football, we really don't have a chance to win.
Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think is as special a talent, but I again, take the Miami game out. And as good as Kyle Shanahan is, I've seen his record without Garoppolo. I've always felt he's better than all the scouts say, the internet says. I don't think he's a top five quarterback. But when you look at him now as his foot gets healthier, what do you see going forward? What did you see last week?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned, you put it, you know, in a list category. I'm not a list guy. So when you say top five, Jimmy Garoppolo is an extremely efficient player in a highly well-schemed offense. And we've discussed this numerous times. That's the job of a coach. The job of a coach is to create a passing game with your route concepts, your route combinations, your design to define the reads and the throws for the quarterback so the ball can come out on time and he can be comfortable playing the position. Now, that's not going to happen on 100% of his dropbacks, but you try to do that as often as possible. Now, you do get to third and long, but even when I watched Garoppolo this summer and watched a ton of them, Kyle Shanahan does a really good job in those situations as well. So Jimmy Garoppolo is a good throw over the football. He's not truly mobile and athletic in the sense that he's a big-time second reaction player. He certainly can do design rollouts, but he's an efficient quarterback in a really well-schemed system.
So I had an epiphany last night. It was terrible. So I have loved Tua the whole time. And then Joy's laughing at me as I say this. So I had an epiphany last night, and I thought to myself, people say size doesn't matter in the NFL. That's nonsense because the 30 best quarterbacks that have ever played, 28 are over 6'1 and a half, 6'2. So size has something to do with it, seeing over the line. Secondly, if you take the small quarterbacks that have worked in this league, Fran Tarkenton, Russell Wilson, Michael Vick, they're incredibly, absurdly mobile. He is not absurdly mobile.
Wouldn't call Drew Brees absurdly
okay,
mobile.
Okay, so that's my point. There is one great quarterback in league history that is not overly mobile or big. It's Brees. So in order, and that's who Saban says he is. So in order for it to work, the keyhole he has to fit into is, can he be Drew Brees? And I sat there this morning and I thought, Herbert, the reason Herbert's so good is he's big, he's got a big arm, he can run. And I'm like, yeah, Tua's not big, doesn't have a huge arm, and doesn't move. I had this epiphany, he's not going to work. There it is.
Well, it's funny you say that, and I'm glad that that Nick Saban agrees with me, or I agree with Nick Saban, however you want to say that. He probably knows a little more football than I do, but when I evaluated Tua coming out in the draft, I said that for him to be a high-level NFL quarterback, he would have to play like Drew Brees. So I felt that from studying his tape. He's not Russell Wilson. He's a rhythmic player. He's very quick on his feet on his drop. He sets up. He delivers the football. He transfers his weight. He's very accurate in the short to intermediate areas. He's not truly a second reaction player. He's not immobile. Just like Drew Brees in his prime was not immobile. Drew Brees was a good athlete, but not an athlete in the way that Russell Wilson is, or certainly a Kyler Murray. So I think, to me, Tua, to be great, would have to play the position like a Drew Brees.
All right. I'm freaking out. Got to watch the game.
Yeah, I'm glad Nick and I agree on that.
So last week, everybody went crazy with Baker Mayfield, and I said, time out. The fact that Joe Burrow got hit like 12 times, has a bad O-line, had no running game, the fact that Baker had to overcome him several times, I thought Burrow, when you consider what he has around him, I'm blown away by Joe. I was blown away with him this weekend. What's the tape say?
Yeah, they run a very specific kind of offense. They play a lot with three wide receivers. Over 80% of his pass drops have come with three wide receivers on the field. They play out of empty sets more than any team in the league. And empty, more often than not helps an offensive line, because when you're in empty sets, you're doing a very rhythmic passing game. Burrow's really good at that. He's very rhythmic. He has a very good feel for what he sees both pre-snap and post-snap. So the ball comes out. The problem is you do get into situations where you need deeper drops, and this O-line does struggle in pass protection. But Burrow has been very efficient. There's a refinement to his game that you don't normally see with a rookie quarterback.
And finally, before we get to the big play, I had Justin Herbert on this week. And, you know, Joy and I, because I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so I watch a lot of Oregon Duck games. And I watched, and you and I talk about this stuff. I was not a big fan of Jacob Eason at Washington. You and I have talked about this. But I kept saying to Herbert, I said to people I knew, I was like, okay, he's a four-point student, big, huge arm, and he's mobile. And I watched the Rose Bowl, and I'm like, I don't really understand. I don't get what people don't like. I didn't think he was going to be this good this fast, but I thought we were nitpicking this poor kid. So when you look at Justin Herbert of the Chargers, is he better than you thought?
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because you and I have talked quarterbacks over the years. Who's more talented, Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence?
Okay, so at the Rose Bowl, I said Joy was here. I said, Joy, he looks like a thicker Trevor Lawrence. That's what I told her. I said, this is Trevor Lawrence, but he's thick. His legs, he's thicker. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought Trevor Lawrence was.
Yeah, I mean, we're being told, and I'm not knocking anybody, because Trevor Lawrence obviously has high-level traits, as, by the way, does Justin Herbert. But we're being told that Lawrence is generational, and people are acting like Herbert shouldn't even have been a top 10 pick, and that, boy, you know, this guy's just not very good. Now, again, I'm sure a lot of people, and I had some concerns with Justin Herbert coming out based on his college tape study, but there's no question he's a high-level talent. He's a big-armed kid. You hit it on the head. We don't need to repeat that. But this kid is really, really talented, and there's a poise to his game that really shows up when you watch him play.
So you have the big play of the week is with him.
Yeah, you know, this was an interesting play to me. I mean, there's so many plays you could take with him, and we can run it right now. This was a seam ball touchdown that he hit last week to Donald Parham, who's about a 6'7", 6'8", tight end. And what was really interesting to me about this play is they had three tight ends on the field. They had Hunter Henry, they had Parham right there, and then they have Virgil Green, who was split. And this caused a lot of problems for the Jaguars' defense and how they wanted to match up. It looked like they were playing cover one with a single deep safety. It might have been three match, but the point is they got Parham running the seam, and because they had three tight ends on the field, what happened is they got him matched against Schobert, a linebacker who was running with him. Now, Justin Herbert, he trusts that Parham's going to win, and he has to control the deep safety. Not really hard stuff here. He's got to make sure that that deep safety stays in the middle of the field. But what I loved here was the timing and anticipation of this throw and the ball placement. I mean, he made this look so easy, and it was the anticipation that was so critical. And with Herbert, there's so many plays. In fact, I didn't think Colony had his best game of the year by any means, even though they put up 39 points against the Jaguars. But he's so capable of special throws and the movement. You know, he's a very loose and easy mover when he runs either by design or leaves the pocket.
Good stuff, Greg Cosell. That's exciting. L.A., we got Goff and Herbert. It matters. When you're in a city, you got to get the quarterback right. And we're in L.A., and we got two guys who can play. And this Herbert kid is, I mean, just you don't have to be an expert. You watch him, and you're like, okay, that's what a big I mean, he's got everything. Four-point biology, everything. Just right there. Greg Cosell, great seeing you.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
People have an effect on other people. We know this to be true. You could ask any child psychologist. What I'm about to say is not really disputable or arguable, is that little kids affect each other. Let's say you have two daughters. One daughter is really cute and the other daughter is not quite as cute. And the girl that is cute gets all the attention, and it will affect overwhelmingly the other girl that doesn't get attention throughout the course of her life. If you have two sons, three sons, one is reckless and a little bit of a bully, the other kids watching how that got him in trouble can eventually be prone to being much more safe because they have watched their brothers and sisters. Ask any parent. You have four kids, they're all different. They have the middle child syndrome. We call it the old child syndrome, the youngest child syndrome, the middle child syndrome. People around each other change behaviors for a lifetime. We also know in psychology, there's a phenomenon called the super saver phenomenon, meaning if two people got married, you'd never been with each other your whole life, and at 30 years old, you get married to somebody. And you're both savers. You put your money away. You're almost like obsessed with saving money. And if two people get money, get married that are like that, one will become the super saver and the other one will start spending money, which will create conflict because somebody will go, they'll compete against each other to be savers. And at some point, one will be the super saver and the other one's like, okay, enough already. I'm going to go buy a Rolex. The point being, we do affect each other. You know, they say pets start looking like their owners. I mean, we affect each other. So Odell Beckham leaving, the Browns are better. I said that, and I've been saying this for 2 years. They're better without him. Now, that's Baker Mayfield said, that's insensitive. How can you say that? I've been saying that for 2 years, regardless of the injury. But Kevin Stefanski, despite obvious data, says, that just can't be true.
Not smart enough to make an argument for that, Jake. I'll just tell you, I'd much rather have 13 on the field if available to us. He's not, so we'll make sure we have a plan to make sure we can move the ball any which way we can.
Okay, Kevin, you're a lot smarter than that. You went to an Ivy League school, Penn, graduated, and played football. Don't play dumb now. You know the game. It's the Patrick Ewing theory by Bill Simmons, that Patrick Ewing, as he got older for the Knicks, was surrounded by very good players, but the organization was so fixated on Ewing when he got hurt and the other guys could rise, they actually went to the finals. It's why A-Rod was the Seattle Mariners' best player. Hit 318, 40 jacks. Went to Texas. He was their best player. But Seattle got better when he left. I'll get to that in a second. Bryce Harper, Nationals' best player, or second best player. Leaves, good franchise, wins a World Series. How is it possible? You can't be better without A-Rod in Seattle. They were. Set a Major League Baseball winning record. You cannot be better without Bryce Harper, Patrick Ewing. Yes, you can. This is like child psychology. This is the people react off people. Because superstars and stars, even when fading, get an inordinate amount of hype and attention. It can create jealousy in a locker room. It can suffocate other personalities. They're not allowed to blossom. Also, professional athletes watching A-Rod in Seattle getting all the attention, A-Rod leaves, and all those players are like, we want to prove we're pretty good without A-Rod. This baby ain't all about A-Rod. And they have career years. Bryce Harper leaves. Good riddance. We can win without him. Less stress because Bryce Harper's no longer around, so nobody picks the Nationals to win the World Series. Nobody picked the Mariners to be any good. Oh, Ewing's gone. The Knicks will be no good. Is that the reality is that we all react off each other. You work with somebody long enough, you kind of know when they're in a bad mood, when they're in a great mood, when to put your arm around them, when to give them space. OBJ leaving is going to allow Baker Mayfield to sprinkle the ball around like Oklahoma when he's at his best. There is no disputing that Baker Mayfield comes into the league a year later, OBJ, a superstar, comes into his lap. This is not a criticism of OBJ. It's a reality. He's a superstar. He's good looking. He's got flair. He's the one-handed catch. He's got a brand. He's got a Bentley. He's got this and that. And Baker feels a need to get him the ball. Wouldn't you? Be one thing if it's Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Talk to the hand. I'll get it to you when I want to get it to you because I'm a star too. This is not a knock on OBJ. It's a reality of who he is, a generationally gifted wide receiver who comes with a personality, a brand, an expectation, a flair, drama. Kevin Stefanski knows this. Cleveland's going to be better. OBJ is going to be fine. It's not insensitive. He's going to have a career. He's already rich. He's a good kid. He was always a good soldier in Cleveland. But the idea that you can't get better when you lose A-Rod or Bryce Harper or Patrick Ewing is utter nonsense. It's why the daughters and sons and coworkers and couples, you know, my wife's an artist. She's more emotional. When she's in one of her moods, I just know how to react at this point in my career. I back off. I help here. Her emotions change how I act all the time. My expectations change. My habits change. My movements change. My words change. We all affect each other this way. It's just basic psychology, and I believe Baker and Cleveland will be a different offense, maybe not quite as explosive, but they'll share the ball a little more, less pressure, less hype, less expectation, and they'll be very good.